Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in this Washington Times Community column, she's The Bidden Siegel Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel with barely a voice today, but Bob Siegel nevertheless. So, you'd like to believe in God, but life can be so overwhelming. Does God approve of us sometimes just getting away from it all? Indeed, he does. In fact, Jesus himself said once to his disciples, come apart and rest for a while. Well, one such relaxing pastime is enjoying a good movie, or enjoying ripping to shreds a bad movie. Either way, please welcome back film critic Mark Boubian.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
It's good to be here. Now, you like to come during the holiday season.
And talk about sometimes Christmas movies, sometimes...
Or sometimes movies that just would make a good Christmas gift.
Gifts.
So you have a lot of latitude there.
Yeah, so this year I'm going to do the Christmas gift show.
Okay, well, before you do, I have a surprise for you.
Oh, okay.
There's a little history between Mark and I. Every Christmas I ask him if he would review the classic Christmas movie, Miracle on 34th Street. Every year he has the same excuse. He's never seen it. A couple years ago, I was going to buy it for him to get him to see it, but I could only find it on DVD. And you don't ever dare give Mark anything but Blu-ray. So now, Mark, here is a Christmas gift from me.
Oh, my gosh.
You are without excuse. The next time you come on our show, I don't care if it is Christmas time. I want to review... And I really believe you will like it.
Okay, I think
it's one of the best Christmas movies ever made. I think it's one of the best movies ever made, although I shouldn't say that because now I'm raising the bar far too high. And now it probably
You've
won't.
You've been doing that for years.
So don't try to live up to that bar, but just don't go into it thinking that maybe it'll just be a good movie.
Great. Well, you know, come on the Bob Siegel Show, get a present. And how much better does it get than that?
Right, there you go.
All right, well... let's see, a couple of the movies that I will talk about or have talked about, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, those are the two big obvious releases for this year, and I don't want to spend really any time talking about those because we have covered those in past shows quite extensively, but if you're looking for a present that's just an absolute win for almost anybody, the Star Wars box set is it, and I recommend there's two box sets, and you have to be very careful. One has all six movies.
He
about
always
that.
Bragged that he was going to make nine,
right,
but he never did.
A little slip of the tongue there. But yeah, all six. Get that box set because it has the special features. There's another pair where it's 1 through 3 and 3 through 6.
Is there a deluxe set that includes the Ewok adventures that he made for television?
No, that I don't think it does. You know, that,
good.
I was hoping that
wouldn't be in there.
But if you really are dead set on avoiding those, then just buy the individual trilogies, because those don't have any special features. But that's why I recommend avoiding them, because you don't get anything with them, and they basically end up costing the same amount as the one big, huge box set. Lord of the Rings only comes one way in a big, huge box set. So
and that's the extended version of Lord of the Rings, I take
yes.
it?
Yes. The Fellowship is for sure extended, and it's actually so extended that it doesn't fit on one Blu-ray. It's split across two,
wow,
which is good news because that means that it's going to look impeccable.
Well, I know the Two Towers was extended by a whole hour, and Return of the Kings, I think, by another half hour.
You know, and I'm not a big fan of the movies because I felt like...
They didn't live up to the books.
Right. They just, and he changed so much, and it's not that it didn't live up to the books, but it kind of damaged my view of the characters and the storyline. And it just wasn't enjoyable after a certain point for me. So I'm not a big fan of the movies, but there are obviously a lot of people that really do love the Lord of the Rings movies. They won all those Academy Awards way back when.
Well, Return of the Kings was one of only three movies in history to receive 11 Academy Awards.
That's right. So, you know, there are some people that like them other than, you know, me. But again, they're very highly recommended. They're very good quality release. And again, you know, everybody, there's always somebody that likes Lord of the Rings. So it's, you can't really go
wrong
with
that. And I
should
say, I like the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Although I would agree that some of the changes they made from the books, I wish they had not made.
But. Yeah. And I'm at, you know, the biggest thing for me is the shock that the Lord of the Rings community at large, who would be very strict and very critical of any change, embraced Peter Jackson's versions of the movie so wholeheartedly. And the changes are so devastating in some places.
Well, you know, I always go back to a very simple question. Would the author, would J.R. Tolkien have liked it? And I know for years he would have shuddered that they were even going to make it into a movie. But because of the revolution in special effects and because they were willing to make three of them, the irony is that potentially they really did have the ability to bring his vision to the screen. So when they then go arbitrarily change something that they didn't need to, it seems like a waste.
Yeah, right, exactly. And he kind of makes you wonder why he did it. He did such a good job. The Fellowship of the Ring, I really liked, you know, and the that film is very good and was very...
I remember seeing it with you, and you did that. Yeah. It was after Two Towers you started going
Yeah,
down.
Two Towers is where everything diverges, but Lord of the Rings really
I know how you can like them again. Go watch the animated Lord of the Rings, and then watch Peter Jackson's version afterwards.
Yeah.
That'll cure you.
Right, the 70s psychedelic, weird, crazy...
Where he only made half the movie anyway.
Yeah, it didn't work.
On many, many levels.
I still don't quite understand. There's a Lord of the Rings in there, and there's a Return of the King, too. So that's
because
it's kind of this
if
weird...
it had been a hit, they would have made a part two in the theaters. It was not a hit, but they had to do something, so they released this television version.
Return of the King. Okay. Yeah. I saw The Hobbit, and I liked The Hobbit, even though it was sort of
different
a Cliff Notes
different
kind of...
production.
Yeah, that's, I think, Rankin and Bass may have done that.
And it was a weird kind of animation where they filmed live action sequences and then just drew over them.
Yeah, that was the Lord of the Rings one that they did
that.
The Hobbit was more just
standard. No, The Hobbit was
standard.
Yeah, standard animation.
Yeah, and definitely more enjoyable. And my view of Gollum, actually, my internal view of Gollum comes from how he looked in that movie. And that's one of the things I don't like about Jackson's Lord of the Rings is Gollum is so off-putting. He's so horrifying looking, and I just didn't.
He wasn't really meant to look great in the book.
No, but he's if you see the Hobbit cartoon,
he wasn't going to be confused for Tom Cruise or anything like that.
Yeah, right. But in the Hobbit cartoon, he's still kind of creepy looking, but he's not just so absolutely. Okay, United Artists. All right.
Ah, thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
Was that Nick? Was that Paul or Nick? Oh, thank you, Nick.
Great. Okay, so there you go. But it's not out. I don't know if it's even got a DVD. You know, it's such a, it's just so not in demand. You know, people just don't want to see it.
No, it's not. So... And in a way, it's too bad because this director was the very first person to ever film movie and to try it. And I believe they said that Peter Jackson made at least one scene that was supposed to be kind of a homage to the animated version. I do not recall what scene that was, though.
Oh, I have no idea. I'd never heard that.
Yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, though, the idea of motion capture that you were talking about in the animated films, that's really all Gollum was. He's a motion capture. A guy wore a suit. Andy Serkis wore a suit and then acted
technology.
Stuff out.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where he would have... the notion of doing an homage to the original. I don't know. I have no idea. But just suffice it to say, I don't like Gollum, and I find the storyline and the characters just ruined by Peter Jackson, so I'm not buying these for myself. But I know other people really will like them, so go ahead and buy them.
Well, that's
They're
very generous
Blu-ray.
Of you, Mark, to recommend something you don't like yourself. It just shows how magnanimous you are.
Oh, yes. I thank you, Bob.
Would our Lord do less?
I'll try not to let that go to my head too much. Now, one of the other things I like about doing this show is because I get to talk about some of the independent movies that I don't necessarily see. Because, you know, when in the summertime, all of the blockbusters come out, and movies are so expensive these days, let's be honest. You want to see a movie that you feel like you're going to get your money's worth. So I tend to go see movies that are the big, huge hits in the IMAX and the maybe the 3D or the whatever. So I'm going to miss the independent films that are coming out, unless it's something I'm really, really, really looking forward to. And that's not, it doesn't happen very often. So I got a couple of movies that I would like to recommend that are independent films, just to kind of get us a little sidetracked here, because I don't usually talk about independent movies.
Well, independent movies are usually so much better than Hollywood.
Yeah.
They're standard Hollywood.
But they're
movies.
A hard gift to give, because they're independent movies are generally not the fun movie you go see to just enjoy.
Because it doesn't have one of the five Hollywood endings on it.
Right. No, yeah, exactly. So there you go. But they're fun in a different way, you know, in the kind of conversational after the fact, thinking about the movie. I like independent movies because they're the ones you tend to talk to your friends about and to think about and to really consider much more deeply if it's well done. You know, there are bad independent movies out there, I won't lie, but these two are not the two I'm going to recommend. The first is Tree of Life. It's directed by Terrence Malick, who's only done a few movies. He's very selective on the films that he makes. And I think he's got something like 5 to 8 movies over his 20 or 30 year career. So he's very selective. And he's very well regarded in Hollywood. Now, this movie, what's interesting about it, first off, Bob, you may notice Tree of Life is a reference to the Bible.
Could it be the Tree of Life in Genesis?
Yes. So we're starting off with the title of the movie being a biblical reference. Then the movie opens with a quote from Job. Which would also be a biblical reference, believe it or not, Job 38. The quote is, "Where were you when I laid the foundations
right,
of the earth?"
When Job was demanding answers from God.
And God's answer is, "Where were you when I laid the foundations
His
of the earth?"
His answer is, "Look, pipsqueak, I don't owe you an answer."
Right, basically, which is the worst kind of answer you could ever get, because this is so dissatisfying to me. You know,
except that when you read Job in context, it is satisfying, because when Job was suffering, his friends gave him all this trite advice and tried to explain why he was suffering, thus making Job's suffering worse.
Yeah.
So it was kind of good that God comes back at the end and says, "None of you know what you're talking about."
Right. And you know, God is not trite, at least with this answer. And the other thing is I think he also leaves it up to us to work out life for ourselves in a way by giving us that answer. And what the other thing is that Terrence Malick, he takes two lines from Job. He takes verse 4 and then he skips to verse 7. So it's, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So there's this reference to this glorious, magnanimous thing going on also that God is referring to, you know, not just the foundations of the earth, but all of the joy and wonder of creation wrapped up here, where we all celebrated. Where were you when that was going on? Don't just focus on the negative, but remember there's this.
Okay, well, we will not focus on the negative, but we will focus on this break. We'll be right back with film critic Mark Boobian.
This is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. If you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. Again, the number is 1-888-344-1170. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
Program. As you know, we seldom do repeats on the Bob Siegel show, but Christmas time is an exception. It's one of the rarest seasons of the year where I do like to take a little extra time off. As it happens, our next two Sundays will actually be Christmas Day and New Year's Day. My program will be on both days, but both days they will be repeat broadcast. Having said that, I never pick a repeat arbitrarily. We have two interesting rebroadcasts lined up for you. Next week is a replay, and it's been an annual treat, our annual Christmas tradition, my interview with Sylvia Lang, niece of Hugh Martin, who wrote the Christmas classic song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. A singer in her own right, Sylvia talks about Uncle Hugh's conversion to Christianity in the hospital. Very interesting story. And then sings some of her own songs. The following week, we are replaying my interview with Keith Thurbadeau, better known to television audiences as Little Ricky on I Love Lucy. Keith shares some interesting stories about life on the set of I Love Lucy and also shares with passion his own relationship with Jesus Christ. You do not want to miss either one of those programs, and I will return for an all-new show on January the 8th. I'll be joined by guests Dana Wright and Matt Simone, sharing stories we have heard from friends and families where God gave them hope in the midst of trials. And if any of you have such stories of your own, we'd be more than happy to share them as well. Just drop me an email, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. And now welcome back film critic Mark Boubian.
Thanks again, Bob. So I guess I'm looking like I'm a little bit in danger of reviewing Job rather than Tree of Life. So I should probably talk a little more about the movie itself. Now, this is a hard movie to actually pin down because it's the most non-standard narrative you'll ever see. Time doesn't really move linearly at all throughout the film. And there's even this whole sequence of creation that occurs somewhere near the beginning where we see all of creation unfold before us. And this is the story about a family who loses a child and the effect it has on them. We see the before and after. And the movie deals with thematically, he tells you up front, he gives you the Job quote, and then from the character, the mother figure, she states that there are two ways in life, the way of grace and the way of nature. And basically, the way of grace boils down to being selfless, and the way of nature is selfish. But she describes those two ways. And the movie is the conflict of which way is the family going to go? Are they going to choose the way of grace or the way of nature? Or are they already walking in one of those two ways? And you kind of see the contrast between the mother and father character and one of the son characters. There's three sons in the movie. One of them dies and has this powerful effect on the family. And so it's a very moving film, but it's also told in just such an unusual way that you're really struggling to keep up a lot of the time. But it's also very entertaining and very well done. So it's engaging in how it's edited, but it's also very challenging. I mentioned this 2001 A Space Odyssey-esque creation sequence where we go into this inexplicable moment where for 20 minutes of the film we see creation unfold.
Oh, it's like going into the star chamber?
Yeah, but it's awesome. It's absolutely some of the best special effects I've ever seen in a movie where we see space and time unfold before us and the creation of the earth. And
well, you've sure got
everything.
My interest. I'd really like to see this.
Yeah, thing. It was a beautiful. And what for me as a Christian, now this sequence, what it left me with is the majesty, the vastness of creation like no other film I've ever seen or anything else. I mean, we're told a million times that God created the universe, and I've seen star pictures. I love space and astronomy. I've seen pictures of the multitude of galaxies out there. I know how grand creation is in my mind, but to see it in this movie, it just really hit me how gigantic, I guess that would be the word, how all-encompassing, and it's so humbling to see this sequence as a person.
Now, did this movie get any accolades?
Yes, it did. It won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. It's won tons of awards.
But no major release in American movie theaters.
It did have kind of a it had a release in the summertime.
Oh, okay.
After Cannes.
I don't know how I missed this. I never even heard of this.
Yeah, it was, Terrence Malick is an unusual director, and so it's really a critics kind of movie. Now, what I think is interesting about that is the movie is very strongly Christian to me as a Christian. I find a lot of Christianity in the film, and I would even say that it is a Christian movie, but it's not made in the Christian production department, so to speak.
Graham sharing the gospel.
So the people that would reject this movie because it's a Christian movie would most likely be the critics. They would just sort of say, oh, it's a Christian movie. Get rid of it. It's not worth seeing. But they're the ones that embrace it. The people that would see it, the Christians in church and whatever, aren't seeing the movie because they don't know about it or they don't know
or it's not promoted as a Christian movie.
Right, it's not promoted as
such.
Usually
that when something's promoted as a Christian movie, it's somebody's testimony. Not that that's bad,
right. But
I love the subtle things like, you know, we both love the TV series Lost. They talked so much about
Christianity
and God and sanctification and restitution, but they did it without clubbing people over their head over it. They did it by just giving you an intriguing story. And it's a back door into a discussion about God.
Exactly. And this is that type of movie, but it's very in your face. I mean, they go to church, they pray, the discussion is with God a lot of the movie. There's a sort of subtle narrative that's whispered by the characters where you're seeing action and you hear the characters whisper, but they're whispering to God. Literally, and it's obvious that that's who they're talking to, and it's very beautifully done. But, you know, and I'd also like to know what an atheist would bring away from this, because you could also take it from the other standpoint that, you know, the nature standpoint, that there is no God after seeing this grand creation moment in the movie, that how could you believe that there's a God that wants to spend time with you that's personal after there's this massive universe created. How could this God have any time for you?
Well, it's interesting because atheists do stand in awe of the universe. Whenever I talk to my atheist friends and I talk about evolution being a matter of randomness and accident, they just vehemently reject words like randomness and accident. They believe that the force of evolution is not random, even though apart from God, it certainly would be. But they don't think of it that way.
No.
And they do think of it as this awesome force to behold and be humble before. It is interesting.
Right. So once you start talking about a force, you're talking about something.
People just take it for granted. I do think there's a blindness there. I say that with respect because I certainly had this blindness and I was an atheist for many years myself.
Right. Yeah, I know, Bob. So this is a great movie for either side because it doesn't try to answer a question. It asks questions. And like I said, it's just this very interesting, beautiful, absolutely astounding creation sequence. I think anybody could appreciate whether they're a Christian or an atheist.
Okay, well, we are here with film critic Mark Booby, and he's going through some Blu-ray picks for the holiday season, some themed Christmas, others just that would make good Christmas presents. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle, so when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Well, Welcome back to our program. I'm here with film critic Mark Boubian.
Thanks, Bob. So I'll give you another reason to see this movie, Bob, because...
Oh, tell us again what the movie was.
Tree of Life.
Tree of Life.
And I keep referring to the creation sequence as 2001-esque, and that was my impression when I watched the movie, that it just felt like 2001: A Space Odyssey at that point. The Star Chamber.
But they call it the Star Chamber walked. Well, they were calling them black monoliths earlier in the movie,
and they go into it at the end, right?
Maybe they never called them black monoliths, but they sure looked like black monoliths.
Right, they were.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, not in terms of how the special effects run. And here I go. I go look up the movie after I see it, and it turns out that the special effects designer, Douglas Trumbull, worked on 2001. He worked on this movie also, and the last movie he worked on prior to Tree of Life was Blade Runner. So he hasn't worked on anything in the last 25 years.
And that's impressive, because, folks, you need to remember 2001 is before Industrial Light and Magic, before George Lucas. And if you looked at 2001 today, you might complain about the pacing. But you got to remember that in 68, nobody had seen those kinds of special effects before. So they were not bored. And the special effects hold up today. You would think they were done today, and they were done without computer animation.
And this is exactly why the director chose Douglas Trumbull to do the movie, because he didn't like the look of computer animated stuff. So there's no computer animation, as far as I know, in the film, and it looks amazing. It's absolutely
astounding. And even though I like the way the computer animation works, when you know it's not computer animation, you're left with a sense of wonder, because you say, how in the world did they do that?
Yeah, how did they do
that? And I don't
mean
that it's hard to do it on, that it's easy to do it on a computer. I'm sure it isn't, but still, to not be using a computer and still recreate these effects, it's amazing.
It's amazing, and this is such an amazing film, visually. And they've won cinematography awards as well, acting, director, best picture, I mean, everything. So it's just a great, great movie. I'm hoping that it actually is up for best picture for the Academy Awards. There was some talk about that, but it's very, very, very independent, and it would be a very long shot for that reason. But maybe Terrence Malick, the director, will get a nod, hopefully. So I think that some of the actors, Brad Pitt, Jessica Chastain, who is basically an unknown until this movie. She's in like four movies this year. She's had this breakout performance and is suddenly this big name. She may win an award. Sean Penn, who walked out of the premiere because he was cut.
He was cut completely?
Not
or he was cut
completely,
down?
But cut a lot. So the story behind the movie is also very interesting. So there's a lot here. This is just one of those great movies. It's a great movie, but it's also a very entertaining, very interesting, very engaging film to watch. Okay, so another movie that I recommend, another independent film, is Another Earth. This is a science fiction movie. I'm pulled in by science fiction. That's one of my great loves.
Another Earth meaning some kind of parallel
a
universe?
A parallel Earth. So another Earth
where history
is found.
Unfolds differently and we
no,
all...
No. It's a exact duplicate of our Earth in a parallel orbit on the opposite side of the sun, so we can never see it, and somehow it gets off kilter and we start to be able to see it. And it raises this question, though. It's a duplicate of the Earth. Do things unfold? As you mentioned, is there an alternate history?
Was it like in Star Trek where there would be two Mark Boubians, one on
right.
each Earth?
There's two of everybody.
Oh, okay.
And so do the actions that you take on this Earth, are they the same actions that are taken on that Earth? And if not, what happens? So the question that I think a lot of people ask is, you know, when I make this choice, what if I make the other choice? What will happen in my life? And we can look back at our lives and see times where we've made choices that were either right or wrong, and things could have gone.
Yeah, like I ordered a hamburger at Der Wiener Schnitzel today. I have spent the rest of the day wondering what it would have been like if I had not ordered that hamburger.
I think you know the answer, though. That's one of those, you know the answer. So the science fiction is actually sort of a subtle backdrop to the film. It's really a drama about a girl who crashes. She's an up-and-coming, brilliant, going to MIT, and she has a car accident, drunk driving accident, where she kills two people. And it's this overwhelming remorse. She's in prison for 4 years. It destroys her life.
Can you imagine how within seconds somebody's life would just be
totally changed?
And within seconds, you're no longer living the same life you were living.
Yes, exactly. Isn't that a compelling question? And that happens. And so she puts it, the backdrop of the other Earth. Is there another me up there that didn't have the accident and didn't kill these people? And then there's also the undercurrent, this deep desire for forgiveness, and the person, the man whose family she kills, is he going to offer forgiveness if she's able to finally ask? And she ends up developing a relationship with him, not telling him who she is. So it's a very well done film. It asks questions that have much to do with the heart and soul of humanity.
Boy, these both sound like first-rate films.
Yes. Now, what's also another great thing about this movie is the actress who stars in the film, Britt Marling, who's not very well known, but has been in a few movies here and there. But she wrote this, and the reason she wrote this movie is because she wasn't getting good parts, and she wanted to get some good parts. So she decided the best way to get a great role is to write one herself. And that's what she did.
I thought you were going to say she was going to convince a producer that her alter ego in the other Earth was getting good parts.
Yeah, right.
And the reviews were doing great.
That would be the other way to do it, I guess. But so she's been writing movies and starring in them. And I think this is her third. The other two I have not seen. And I consider that to be a loss. I'm going to go make sure I find those movies and look them up. She's got another one coming out, I think, next year that she wrote and she's starring in. She's an amazingly great actress and a brilliant writer. I mean, it's just awesome. What a great story. You write this movie to give yourself a role. And just so I love the story behind the story, kind of. It's very interesting, just like the Sean Penn thing with Tree of Life. So another Earth, Tree of Life, two great movies. Can't go wrong with them. But if you've got your artsy friends, these are the movies to give to them. If you want to challenge some people, these are also the good Target movies to give away. And they're amazingly good Blu-rays. Tree of Life. Tree of Life actually starts with my last plug for Tree of Life. It starts with a blurb that says, turn your stereo up to full volume, because that's the way the movie was made to be seen. Now, you turn Transformers up full blast when you play it or watch it, because all the special effects and everything are going boom and bang and things are flying by. This is an independent film, and he's telling you to turn it up full blast, and the experience is great. The sound design is awesome, so there's a good reason to turn it up full blast.
All right. Film critic Mark Boubian will look at more of his Blu-ray suggestions when we return to The Bob Siegel Show.
Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Listening to The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Pop culture edition today. Always a pleasure to have film critic Mark Boubian.
Thanks, Bob. So for Christmas, of course, your artsy friends are not always who you're going to be buying presents for. Usually you're buying presents for kids. So let's take a look at some children's movies. Now, last year was an amazingly good year for children's movies because it was such a terrible year for just general blockbuster type movies, and the animated films took up the slack, and we had tons to choose from, tons of wonderful animated films. This year, we're kind of in a rut. We've fallen sort of, you know, it's sort of switched places. There were a lot of blockbusters this year, not a lot of good animated films. But there were a few good animated films that I definitely recommend. The first, of course, has to be Kung Fu Panda 2. I can't leave without recommending
Jack Black. Even though that was a sequel, that was as good as the first one?
Was it as good as the first one? I don't know. I enjoyed it very thoroughly.
If they at least didn't retread the story of the first one.
No, they didn't. They took it a different direction.
Okay, then it was a valid story.
Yes, and so, yeah, and they're expanding the character of Poe, the panda. And they also leave the movie off with this projection that they're going to expand it yet further. But it was a very entertaining movie, a great theme. Jack Black is just awesome all over the place. And the movie teaches so much great things to kids. I mean, this is a movie that shows the destructiveness of seeking revenge. Now, every kid is going to want to punch the bully at one point and get back at them, but it really engages you on what seeking revenge is. And there are you're presented with a legitimate reason, it seems like, to seek revenge. Truly, you know, Poe was really, really wronged by this character, and they're going after him to get revenge. And they talk about vengeance, and that is in the forefront, but it also shows us why forgiveness is so important to us as human beings, not just for the person that we are forgiving, but for us, the forgiver. It's so important to be able to let go of things and how challenging that is. So it's just a great movie, beautiful animation. The Blu-ray is just spectacular. You just absolutely cannot go wrong.
Now,
I mention Jack Black's in it?
With Blu-ray, are these movies looking better in Blu-ray than they're looking in the movie theater? Or are there now Blu-ray digital projections in the movie theaters?
Now, if you asked me this question 2 years ago, I would say absolutely they're looking better than every movie theater anywhere, because theaters just were going downhill.
Because with the bigger screen, I imagine they can't get that exact same resolution as the...
The Blu-ray has a good high resolution, so that's one of the advantages.
But are they actually doing Blu-ray movies in movie theaters now?
Actually, they project at... Blu-ray is what I would call 2K resolution. 2K being 2 times 1,000. So that's 2,000 lines of resolution. Projectors are 4K, 4,000 lines of resolution on a big screen. But that does make a big difference. But Blu-ray is spectacular for your home. And if you're seeing a movie projected by an old projector, it's going to look crummy and the film's going to wear out. It's only the really great brand new Sony projectors that I've ended up liking that I feel like challenge what I see in my house.
Are most movies digital now in theaters?
Lot of them are. Most.
Do they still make movies on actual film?
Yes, they do. And they want it to go digital because it's way cheaper across the board. Like shipping all these canisters, they don't have to do that. They just ship a hard disk drive, which weighs about a couple of ounces as opposed to...
Well, I know that initially some directors still said they preferred film.
Yeah, and the look of film. As long as... Now, the holdout for digital projection has been that they want movies to look like film, and that's been a big deal. So the cameras that film digitally have to produce something that looks like film, and the cameras that project digitally in the theater have to look like film as well. So
was the trade-off that film always looked better, but because film degraded and wore down, digital was preferred? Is that the idea?
Well, digital...
Because you would wonder why digital wouldn't just look better than film.
The history of digital projection is very short, Bob, so it's really hard to say, you know, what was the holdout. So basically, there weren't a lot of digital projectors until this year, literally, like the last 6 months, 8 months. So there were a few scattered digital projectors here and there in the theaters for the last 3 or 4 years. And yes, at that point, the trade-off was... The digital projector didn't look as good, but It looked better in some ways, worse in others, I should say.
Well, boy, I know when Attack of the Clones came out, Lucas released a film and a digital version.
That's right.
It was light years, the difference in quality that the digital was over the film.
Now, the story about that, and what's important to recognize, though, is that Lucas came in to the theater. We saw Attack of the Clones at and tuned that digital camera themselves. LucasArts, THX, came in and fixed that projector just before the Attack of the Clones was released, and it was a brand new projector. I saw Kung Fu Panda 1 projected in that same theater, and it looked awful because the projector had degraded so much. It was just one of the most horrifying experiences.
So Lucas didn't have time to come tune it for the Panda, but he tune it for his own movie.
Yeah, he'll tune it for his movie.
Yeah.
But the newer projectors are just light years ahead of that projector. That projector didn't even have the resolution of my TV, and it's projecting on a big screen. Now the projectors that are projecting have more resolution than most HD TVs. So that's one advantage. But Blu-ray is able to get the amount of color and the amount of contrast and other things like that play a big role. And Blu-ray fortunately captures all of that. So you get all of that. You get a good resolution for in-home projection. You can project up to probably a 150-inch screen easily, which is gigantic in a house. Absolutely shockingly gigantic, and it would look as good as any theater, better in many cases if you're not seeing a digital projection. So that's sort of the long answer to your question. I recommend Blu-ray because it does such a good job of reproducing color and resolution, and DVD just can't keep up, even though DVD has looked really good in its day.
Well, DVD is going to go the way of beta pretty soon, I imagine.
I hope so, because Blu-ray is so much better. So let's move on to Winnie the Pooh's movie that looked really good in the theater, that had a lot of wonderful colors. Not a very good movie, in my opinion. I hope my youngest daughter is not too upset. It's a cute movie, but it just doesn't capture the magic of the original Winnie the Pooh, which they really seemed to be saying they were going to do. Disney was really advertising it as something that was a re-imaging of Winnie the Pooh that would
Winnie the Pooh books that A.A. Milne wrote were actually quite profound, even though...
Yeah, and
even though people wouldn't want to admit to that.
Right, even the Disney stuff was cutely profound and had its moments.
Yeah.
So they tried to be like that, but it's too forced, I think, in the newer stuff. And it just doesn't keep up story-wise, unfortunately. But Pooh is a wonderful character, so it's not a hard thing to recommend, especially for very young children, because Pooh is so well-loved. And it looks beautiful on screen. It's like watching art. Even if I didn't like the story, I liked watching the movie for the way it looked.
A little bit different than South Park in tone and animation.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. A little, yes. Don't take your kids to see South Park, just in case you have not heard of South Park. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll have more holiday picks from Mark Boobian when we return.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's weekly column for Washington Times Communities. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net, S-I-E-G-E-L, bobsiegel.net. Here, you can download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. We now return to The Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you.
short program. Once again, we will have two hand-picked repeat broadcasts for you, one on Christmas Day, one on New Year's Day, both of which come on Sundays. My interview with Sylvia Lang, an annual holiday classic that we do here, niece of Hugh Martin, who wrote Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And then the following week, Keith Thibodeau, Little Ricky from I Love Lucy. But today, the infamous film critic, Mark Boubian.
Thanks, Bob. So a couple other choices in terms of animated films would be two other Disney films, Cars 2, which was, to tell you how bad this year was in terms of animated films, Cars was considered to be, largely considered to be, Pixar's worst animated film. That doesn't mean it was a bad movie per se, but it was Pixar's weakest movie.
You mean Cars?
Now, Cars 2 is a is the part two of the worst Pixar ever made.
Oh, but I didn't realize Cars 1 was considered one of the worst they've
made. Yeah, it really was. And I don't like a few of their other movies more than I don't like Cars, but Cars definitely was one of their weaker movies. So their sequel this year is Cars 2. That's their big hit movie Pixar.
Now, did it do well at the box office despite being criticized?
Yeah, it did okay.
Because they had to have done well to make a sequel, I assume.
Cars did, the original Cars, yes, of course. But they also make billions off of the cars that they sell as toys.
Oh, so even if the movie didn't do that well, the merchandising rights.
Absolutely, the movie could totally have tanked, and they would have still, I mean, there's tons of Cars toys out there. If you go to Target or Toys R Us, you'll see them everywhere. So that's why they did it primarily. But the story's good, and it's an okay movie. It's not great, again, but that just to illustrate that this year was not a great year for animated film. Probably one of the bigger recommendations I'd make next to Kung Fu Panda 2 would be the Blu-ray of Lion King, which was just released. Disney actually released a 3D version in theaters. They 3D-ize the film, and you can buy the 3D, or you can just buy the standard 2D or the set altogether. And I don't really recommend the 3D. I think it's an interesting idea, and it works in some ways really well because the movie was multi-layered, and to project that into three dimensions was probably very easy, and it looked really good. But there's times where the faces, these are 2D animated faces, the faces would turn and they try to have the faces kind of stick out of the screen, and that doesn't work.
I often wondered how 3D would work on a television screen. Now, you told me that the day's coming when we won't need 3D glasses anymore, isn't that?
Eventually. Possibly. They're working on that technology, but yeah, if you have a 3D TV, basically you've got glasses. I have a 3D viewer that I put on my head that's is still considered to be a TV set, but it's a head-mounted display, and I get very good 3D from that, and that's how I watch The Lion King. But I don't recommend The Lion King in 3D per se. Like I said, I think the 2D version is amazing, and it has dimensionality, and the dimensionality comes out because the Blu-ray is so good, and if you're watching it on an HD TV, you're seeing such a good quality presentation.
Yeah, you know, frankly, and I enjoy 3D movies, but they have not made that much of a difference to me.
Yeah, it depends on the movie. DreamWorks, who made Kung Fu Panda 2, great 3D. Absolutely knock down, drag out. You got to have it in 3D if it's DreamWorks. They're so good at it. Pixar, Cars in 3D, yeah, take it or leave it. So it just depends on who's doing it. The big trend this year also is comic book movies. Those were sort of the big blockbusters. They're preparing for the Avengers next year. So there were two movies this year that were only made because they're to set up for the Avengers next year. That's Captain America and Thor. But both were very good movies, surprisingly.
I thoroughly enjoyed Captain America.
Yeah, now I was a big Cap fan. My daughter loved Captain America to death, and I didn't like it that as much, but it was still a good movie, and you still have this death resurrection imagery kind of playing out through the movie. And what's also interesting is there's a moment in the movie where if you had seen Thor a few months prior, there's something that happens in Captain America that you don't understand unless you've seen Thor.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah, and it's in the movie. It's not like the after part where at the very end of the movie, the little interstitial they put at the end, it's actually in the movie. So it's good they're being referential, because these are referential films to the Avengers next year, as I said. Thor, what's interesting to me about Thor is it's based on a Norse myth, so it's a pagan myth. It's explained by technology. Their powers are explained by technology, but he is a pagan god. However, he is this complete and total Christ figure. Undeniably, he dies, resurrects, all to save those he loves. He actually makes a substitutionary sacrifice to save those he loves from death. And that's the key to Thor. And there's the hero with a thousand faces idea there, but also, I think, more directly pointing to Christ in this pagan-inspired story. Very interesting. So I like Thor a lot for that reason. I like Thor anyway. I thought it was a fun movie. Cowboys and Aliens, however, is the best comic book movie of the year. It doesn't feel like a comic book movie. You'd never know it was a comic book movie unless someone like me told you.
I did not know it was a comic book movie.
Yeah, so. I didn't either until, you know, someone told me, hey, it's a comic book movie. So I have not read the comic myself, but the movie is done by the Jon Favreau who did the Iron Man films. He's a great director. He nailed this. This is probably the best comic book movie ever made, in my opinion. Better than Iron Man, better than Thor or Captain America, anything. And also very Christian in theme. Life, death, resurrection, substitutionary sacrifice. There's only thing we're missing is the blood imagery to tie it together. And if you want the blood imagery, you'd have to turn to Harry Potter, but not the Harry Potter movie, because the Harry Potter movie was not very good, unfortunately. That's one of the big blockbusters of the year.
Which Harry Potter movie was not very good?
Well, this year we had,
Chapter with a part one and a part two.
So part two was this year, this summer, and they just came out with the Blu-ray, and I finally watched it.
You didn't like it.
And it so was, I thought it was awful.
That's too bad, because you absolutely loved Harry Potter's books.
And you know,
the last book was the best of all of them.
Yes, and I think the last book is one of the best books I've ever read.
And yet you think the last movie was the worst of all.
I mean, it wasn't the worst movie of all, but it was just the ending was so anticlimactic. It just was like, okay, I'm a wet noodle now.
They changed the ending from the book, or was it just the way they executed the
ending? The execution was awful. And it's almost like no one cares that Voldemort died at the end, and it's awful. Yes, that was a spoiler. I'm sorry. I try not to do that, but... The books have been out a while now.
Probably
so I don't
anyone
feel too
that's
bad.
Into Harry Potter knew that by now.
But yeah, right. And I think Harry Potter, the books are very Christian in theme. There's tons of Christianity interwoven with the work that Harry Potter's mother does.
And that puts you
and
in disagreement
Harry
with
himself.
Many Christians
yes,
when you say
it does,
that.
Yes, it does. But that's tough luck on them. I'm not going to apologize. They should apologize to J.K. Rowling. But the movies, you can take them or leave them. Now, there's Harry Potter fans that will love this movie because they love the movies. There's fans of the books and fans of the movies, fans of both. I'm not a fan of the movies, but this is obviously a big hit to give to people that love the Harry Potter movies, and it's a must-have. And some critics actually gave it great reviews, and I still don't know why. I guess they didn't read the book. Planet of the Apes. Now, I just saw this recently, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Another one I missed in theaters but got to see in Blu-ray.
Now, the first Planet of the Apes remake I absolutely hated. Is this second one better?
Yeah, this one is way better. Way, 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 way better. It's a good movie. But the animation stinks. They had the guys that did Lord of the Rings, Weta Digital. Terrible. I did not believe for a second that they were ever talking to a real anything that was a monkey in the movie.
Good
that tore me
grief.
Out of the film.
With all our special effects, can't they get a stupid ape, right?
Yeah,
I mean, come
but
on.
They can't. But again, this is a great movie, great theme. The primary question that's asked of the scientist is, you're trying to control things that aren't meant to be controlled. What are you doing? But all scientists are doing that. So the ethical foundation of science that doesn't exist in modern society is asked by films like this, and that's why this is such a great movie, because it brings up the ethics of whether or not we should pursue certain science. And like Jurassic Park, the book, which asks the same question. The world is destroyed by unbridled, unethical science.
Michael Crichton was very good with that theme. Well, Mark, thank you. We'll have you on again soon. I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. I will be back with you January the 8th for a brand new show. We will see you then.
Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.